So Prabhupada, we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita towards now the end of the sixth chapter of the Madhya Leela. Reading from text 270 to 272. So I'll just read the Bengali and the translation to the first two verses. And then what's on the board is 272. That's 270. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya concluded, even though he is offered all kinds of liberation, the pure devotee does not accept them. He is fully satisfied engaging in the service of the Lord. 271 translation. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, the word muktipade has another meaning. Muktipad directly refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so now we have 272, translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the purport. All kinds of liberation exist under the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is known as Muktipad. According to another meaning, Mukti is the ninth subject, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the shelter of liberation. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna is also known as Mukunda, or he who gives transcendental bliss by offering all kinds of mukti. Srimad Bhagavatam is divided into 12 cantos, and in the ninth canto, different kinds of mukti are described. But the 10th canto is the actual center of all discussions of mukti, because the Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, who is the 10th subject discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam, is the exclusive subject of the 10th canto. Since all types of muktis reside at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, he may be called Muktipad. Dear Prabhus, I humbly seek the blessings and mercy of the assembled and unassembled Vaishnavas today and all the eternal days to come. For you all can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire trees. And you are indeed full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls, such as moi. And particularly seek the blessings and mercy and protection of His grace, Smarahari Prabhu. Smarahari Prabhu, you seem to be... Would you want a chair or another cushion there? Are you comfortable?
Okay, thank you,
sir. Thank you.
Very kind. Always.
Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhus, last Sunday we had a nice class by His Grace Tarun Krishna Prabhu, and it was rather informative and wonderful to listen to him. And all he had was a little pad, but that was his notes. So that was quite encouraging. Of course, I've got pages and pages here. And just wanted to elaborate, firstly, on the 270th verse, which is quite interesting because it made me think of liberation itself. And whenever we would celebrate the appearance or any occasion of a devotee, whether it's an anniversary or a birthday, you know, when we cut these cakes, and we do quite a lot of cake cutting, because there are so many appearances and occasions. And especially when we have appearances, we used to sing, Hare Krishna to you, may you never take birth again. May you never take birth again. May you never take birth again. And of course, after a little while, our Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhaktisarov Swami, he'd changed the line. And he'd mentioned, may you always take birth again. May you always take birth again. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So why is he saying that? Because his intention is that all of us take birth again, but where we take birth again in ISKCON. Again and again and again. Certainly for the next 9,500 odd years, this is the golden era. So of course, you know, taking birth again and again within the Bhaktivedanta Dham, and joining birth after birth after birth, in one sense is quite tempting. Because who wants to go anywhere else? Is it not so? When all of you personalities, of course, I wasn't as fortunate. Of course, you know, the lockdown period, a good 18 odd months, just less than 18 months. It's taken me 18 months to sit on this beautiful Vyasasen, and I still remember it. It gives me backache. That's why I've got this cushion, lower back. But it's taken me that much time. But during the time when all of you resident devotees were under lock and key, as it were, I was envious. I was thinking, I should be in there. Maybe I should have bought a property in the village. I said to my wife, we made a big mistake. We should have just tried and buy a property in the village years back. And then we would have been residents. Of course, when you drive down Dharamarg and you come down towards the Haveli and you see the Goshala on the left and then the Haveli, and then you come to the Tulsi greenhouses and you enter the car park and you come down, it is a truly wonderful feeling. And that's when you think, yes, it's worth the liberation of, you know, appearing again and again at Bhaktivedanta Manor. After we leave. But then, I think, do I want to go through the pains and tribulations of the body? Yes, the whole idea is somehow to be useful in Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON and do something. Try and assist somewhere in getting hold of the conditioned souls, because I'm totally conditioned anyway, but somehow do something so we can rescue as many personalities and they all join Bhaktivedanta Manor. Of course, right now there are restrictions what to do. But this verse, 270, it made me think in that way because of its translation. Naturally, without a purport, to elaborate a little bit on 271, the word which is quite striking is mukti pade. And in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 8, Uddhava mentions to the Lord, tate te yukampa susam shamok mano bhujana ivatma kritam vipakam ridevai vapurbhir vidanam namaste jivato yomukti pade shadoya baka. So the word muktipade here in this verse of the 10th canto, the translation is to the position of liberation. That's muktipade, to the position of liberation. And Uddhava mentions to the Lord, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Now, this was quite interesting. In the purport of this verse in the 10th canto, Prabhupada states, just like the son of a rich man, you may have heard of this analogy, just like the son of a rich man has to stay alive. The son simply has to stay alive. Similarly, one in Krishna consciousness simply has to remain in bhakti yoga. That's all we have to do. Simply have to remain in the ship, in the transcendental ship of ISKCON. As soon as we go to the edge of the deck and we're thinking of jumping off, because in the waters, yes, the turbulent times are there, but we see the fruits within the waters. In the Garbhodaka ocean, I was thinking, Lord Matsya is 8 million miles long when he swims in the Garbhodaka. Lord Matsya. So you can imagine what type of personalities exist in that deep ocean. The depth, it's a shell as we know, but the maximum depth is 1 billion miles. The ocean itself, the diameter is 4 billion miles. But can you imagine? So can you imagine what personalities exist? So it's pretty tempting to jump off the ship and swim in that causal ocean, as it were. But here, Prabhupada in the purport simply mentions, if you want to inherit the liberation, which is no doubt guaranteed, just remain within this ship. Now and again, my son asks me, so Dad, what's in the bank balance? And how much assets have we got? Of course, we don't have that much. But, now and again I say to him, well, all you have to do is, just stay alive. Then you get whatever there is. My father gave me whatever he had. And so it comes down to you. Of course, I didn't get as much. And you may not get as much, but just stay alive. So similarly, here, Prabhupada is so insistent that just stay within the shelter and the ship of ISKCON. The Jaladuta. And simply to recap, Prabhus, there are five types of muktis. Last week, Tarun Krishna Prabhu listed them. So just to recap, there is Sayujya. So this is to merge into the existence of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Not particularly appetizing for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Not particularly desirable. I'd rather come back again and again, and be engaged here somehow. Salokya, to reside in the same planet as the Supreme Lord. Now that's pretty appealing, to reside in the same planet. At least there won't be any aches and pains. Right now as I speak, the lower back is a little painful. For some reason, it's there. The body is aging. These are Shutidhamma Prabhus, and I do need my own. I have to go and see Krishna Vision, Vishal Prabhu. But, he's all the way in Barnet, so I have to make the effort of going to the optician. The problems are there physically. Swarupya, the third one, becoming like the Lord. Swarup means the form of the Lord. Not particularly desirable for the Gaudiyas, being like the Lord. Namo Narayan, as it were. Samipya means the liberated Jivatma is always in the company of the Lord. That's pretty tempting. Associating with the Lord. But then do we really want to associate with the Lord when, I guess it's easier to associate with the devotees of the Lord, isn't it? You can mess around with them. You can't particularly mess around with the Lord. He's the Supreme Father, as it were. And then finally, Shasti, meaning, which means to get the same opulence. Now that's pretty tempting. Indeed. Tempting. That's the fifth one. Now, Prabhu's in the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We are Gaudiya. Mukti simply means the chanting of the holy name. And that's why Govinda Prabhu is so insistent with Harinam. Yeah. Which is for us liberation. In accordance to the Antya Leela, towards the second chapter of the Antya Leela, when the Namacharya Haridas Thakur is in the company of the Mujundars, Govardhan and Hiranya, these are the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, and he does a Pandal program there. And he mentions that, you know, for the devotees, mukti or liberation is the chanting of the holy name. And in the, it's mentioned towards the end of the Madhya Leela. It's mentioned that there are 3.5 intimate associates of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. This is quite interesting. When Mahaprabhu is in Puri. And these devotees, naturally, Sarup Damodar, who's the secretary. Sarup Damodar is Lalita, Sakhi, and he's also, he's Lalita. And then you have Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai is naturally Vishakha. If Lalita is Sarup Damodar, Vishakha, Sakhi is Ramananda Rai, and of course he's Arjuna. And then we have Shikhi Mahiti. Seldom do we hear of him. He's like the third. So interesting how it's mentioned. And the half is the sister of Shikhi Mahiti. Now why we're mentioning this is because Bhagwan Acharya, who's one of the associates of the Lord, at his house, the Lord dines on a frequent basis. And so on one occasion, because here the example of Chota Haridas Thakur has been given, and liberation for him is the chanting of the holy name, and this is what's been stipulated in the Madhya Leela there, towards the end of it. And Bhagwan Acharya instructs the young sannyasi Chota Haridas to go to the house of Madhavi Devi and get some rice grains, because she has the best quality rice. So he's thinking, Bhagwan Acharya is thinking, if I get the rice from Madhavi Devi, then the Lord will be very happy. For she has the best rice. So off goes Chota Haridas, and of course we know what happens. He engages in a beautiful little conversation with the Mataji, and she gives him beautiful rice. He then presents this to Bhagwan Acharya. Bhagwan Acharya cooks the rice. And then of course Gauranga Mahaprabhu, it comes to his attention that the young sannyasi, Chota Haridas, has had a conversation with Madhavi Devi. And of course he then says, you know, I'd have nothing to do with him. Which was quite intriguing, intense. A year goes by and the Lord does not give in. All the devotees petition. It's like they write a petition. You know, here, when something of gravity occurs, everyone writes a petition and sends it to the temple president. And Vishakha Prabhu has to deal with all these petitions. So similarly, the devotees of the Lord, they petition. They may have written it down, and they petition in the sense of, can the Lord please be merciful? And almost a year has passed, and unfortunately, the Lord doesn't give in. The Lord doesn't give in. And yet, during the same similar period of Antyalila, the Lord associates with a young Brahmin boy who is exquisitely attractive. A young boy. And Damodar Pandit criticized the Lord somewhat, and Lord being the Svatantra, he says to, okay, Damodar, you should go and take care of my mother, because that's where you belong. Go back to Nadia and take care of. But here, the Lord is so very strict. And of course, a year does pass. And unfortunately, or fortunately, because he was indeed a sannyasi, and a sannyasi has been given that that license, as it were, of taking life. So he just jumps in the ocean, and he leaves his body, Chotahari Das. And of course, when he leaves his body, it's mentioned in the purports that Srila Prabhupada mentions he's in his spiritual body, or subtle body, as it were. And the great Chotahari Das sings, and he's singing bhajans, and he's singing the holy name. And this is so very attractive to the Lord. The Lord then ends up in the ocean, and he listens. And in the in one of the covers of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's that beautiful picture, painting, of like an angelic personality floating with wings. This is Chotahari Das in his somewhat subtle form, and he's got wings. What an amazing concept. And he's singing to the Lord. So in this way, it's mentioned that this personality is liberated. And why is he liberated? Because he is singing the glories of the Lord. He's singing the holy name of the Lord. Now, it's mentioned in the verse here, the purport of 272, Srila Prabhupada states, Sri Krishna is the 10th subject discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I was just reading that again and again. So there are 10 subject matters, and the Lord is the 10th subject discussed in the Bhagavatam. And we know that just like there are 5 subject matters in the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, there are 10 subject matters in the Bhagavatam. There are 335 chapters. Everyone knows there are 12 cantos, but there are 335 chapters. If one were to read a chapter every day, then within the year, you'd finish the Bhagavatam. Of course, it can be done sooner than that. Srinivas Prabhu has probably got the record of finishing the Bhagavatam in the quickest time. He's probably read it hundreds of times. I did see him earlier. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitarama Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gaur Nithai Bhagwan ki jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Prabhu, the very first subject is Sharg. Sharga means the first creation. And this is Mahavishnu, Sadashiva, etc., etc. So we don't want to dwell into that, otherwise we'll be here all day. Visarg means, actually is Lord Balaram, sub-creation. This is the second. And after the interaction of the ingredients created by Mahavishnu, Lord Balaram creates. It's Lord Balaram who does everything. He's the one who creates. And then Stan. Stan means maintenance. Of course, to maintain anything is the toughest, isn't it? Everything can be created. Everything can be very easily destroyed. But it's that maintenance. It's the day-to-day maintenance. And take it from me, Prabhus, it's a blinking headache.
Porsche, this is a good one. The fourth subject is Porsche. Porsche means devotee care. Isn't it devotee care? So it's so important. Maybe I should do something about the Vyasa-san because I'm getting a little backache. Uti Ugra. This is for creation, the creative impetus. The creative impetus. The sixth is Manvantara. There's a lot of stuff in Bhagavatam about Manvantara, isn't it? This Manu, that Manu, Vaivasvata, Chakshusha. Seven Manus we have gone through. We're on the seventh, by the way. Our governor is Vaivasvata. After us, I think it's Chakshusha, the eighth. Ishanu Katha, this is a beautiful one. The seventh subject is known as Ishanu Katha, which means knowledge of the Lord. Katha naturally means, glorifying the Lord, speaking about the Lord, remembering the Lord, all of that. Nirodh means winding up the existence, the creation. Generally, Lord Shiva does that. And then the ninth is Mukti, liberation. And of course, the tenth for the Gaudiyas, it's probably the best, most relishing. Tenth is Ashraya, means knowledge and the information on the cause of all causes, the Supreme Brahman. The cause of all causes being the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. So these are the 10 subject matters, and I thought just touch upon that because it was in the translation of this verse. For the holy name being so important to us, and really the chanting of it, we will achieve liberation, we will achieve mukti. So the Sri Namamrita. Seldom do I pick up the Sri Namamrita, I must admit. It remains in my bookshelf, hopefully not accumulating dust. But now and again, I do pick it up. And it's the nectar of the holy name. And by chanting the holy name, one returns back home, back to Godhead. Now, when you read these statements in the Namamrita, one returns back home, back to Godhead. My Lord. What a powerful statement. And time again in the Sri Namamrita, it's been mentioned. And of course, what's quoted again and again is this famous verse from the 12th canto of the 3rd chapter. And again, it's stated in the Madhya Leela of the 20th chapter, verse 344. This famous verse, Kalo Dosha Nidhirajan. Asti he eko mahan guna. Very famous verse. And then in the 15th chapter of the Madhya Leela, the 108th verse, an auspicious number 108, it's mentioned Diksha Purushacharya Vidhi Avakshana Karaye Jiva Sparshe Achandala Achandala Savare. Uttare. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man or a woman in the lowest class can be liberated, can be delivered. So by these are powerful words. So by chanting, one becomes liberated and returns back to Godhead. Should one wish to. If one, it's further mentioned, if one constantly thinks of Krishna by chanting, because you're meant to. You're meant to think of the Lord or concentrate on each of the letters and the words.
You know, you're meant to do that. If one thinks by chanting the Lord's holy name, he will return back to Krishna Loka. He will return to Krishna Loka at the time of death. And when I just recently read this, because the entire week I've been very much contemplating upon and thinking about His Holiness, His Grace, Radha Vinod Prabhu. It's been a week, and he sustained this massive stroke. His picture is there underneath Srila Prabhupada. And I've been thinking of him, and when I read this, I was thinking to myself, here is a devotee who has been chanting. He's led so many kirtans. He has a beautiful voice. Not a crow-like voice like mine. Mine's like a crow. But he has such a beautiful voice, and he chants. And now, the situation he's in, he's got all the time in the world to chant. And it's Manasa Seva. It's Manasa. And if he hadn't been doing that, if a devotee, or if anyone doesn't take shelter of the holy name, when circumstances change for us, when we have to, a week can be a long time, a day can be a long time in difficulty, or a change of circumstances, because your circumstances have changed. So if a person who is not so devotionally inclined, who may not necessarily be a devotee, it goes through a rapid change, a sudden change, because a sudden change can occur at any time, is it not? And there's a paradigm shift in our existence. We're suddenly thrown into the deep end, as it were. And if we haven't done so, I remember time and time again, I would go in the ashram, and Acharya Seva Prabhu, Acharya, his residence was in that little cupboard, and sometimes I would go in there and someone would wake him up. And I'd open the door, and immediately Acharya Prabhu, even though he's in samadhi, and a foolish person like me has to somehow wake him up. Hare Krishna. He's chanting even in his samadhi, even if he's sleeping, he is conscious. So I'm just thinking, Radha Vinod Prabhu is now in. He's got that opportunity. Of course, now and again, it's frustrating because things have changed for us. No longer, because Radha Vinod Prabhu has been so active. I was thinking during the Janmasmi period, yours truly rests early. I can't stay up all night like many devotees do. I pretend that my body's tired, and I'm straight after midnight, I'm gone. But here, Radha Vinod Prabhu was literally up all night because he had service early in the morning. So I'm thinking, here's a devotee who's so very, very, been so very active, active in service. And of course, things have changed. So we'd humbly have a humble and serious and sincere prayers to the deities that if they desire their Supreme Lordships, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Sri Sri Gonitai Bhagwan, and our Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada, and my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami, if you all desire, Radha Vinod Prabhu has not completed his work here. And we humbly request you all to give him back to us. This is our humble request. Of course, the decision is yours, but we need him back. So this is our humble prayer to the deities, and it reminds me of all those years when the temple was seemingly under threat, and after the morning program, some of you may remember, we had this prayer to their lordships. If you so desire, please keep the temple open. And it was like a mantra, every day chanting it. So when devotees are seemingly taken away from us, we should have this similar thought and prayer. Of course, it's mentioned, even if performed without knowledge or education, chanting of the holy name and dancing and taking prasad, that's mentioned here in the Namamrita. Chanting of the holy name, dancing in front of the deities. Of course, I'm always reluctant to dance. But dancing in front of the deities, taking prasad, not reluctant to take prasad, will lead anyone, even an animal, back home, back to Godhead. Even an animal is eligible. So when I kind of read that, I thought, I may have, there's a glimmer of hope for me. And what reminds me is of the pastime when the devotees, on a yearly basis, they leave Mayapur, Nadia, and they enter Puri during the Chaturmasya, the 3 months, and they go for the Rath Yatra. And generally it's Shivananda Sen who leads the party, with Raghava Pandit being there. And on one particular occasion, 1 year, it was this dog, Shivananda Sen's dog. And when I read this pastime, I contemplate on the dog. And the dog doesn't have a name, because it's not really customary to give names to pets. Obviously, in the Western concept, it's customary. We used to have this cat many years back, and the cat's name was Ginger. Anyway, this cat was actually, it's definitely a devotee. For quite some time, Smarapu would remember, I think possibly in the early 90s, he was around Ginger. But anyway, the dog, I'm referring as Dog Prabhu, because there's no particular name. This dog was so, Shivananda Sen was attached to the dog, and rightly so. For he even takes the dog to Puri.
Wow.
And on one particular occasion, when they have to cross across the Sarovar, the river, as it were, I can't remember what particular area that was. Shivananda Sen paid 8 times what you would pay the human, the devotee, 8 times to have the dog cross. He paid the boatman 8 times the amount, according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so this dog came all the way, and when they got, just before the devotees get to Puri, on the suburbs, on the outskirts of Puri, Shivananda Sen instructed the servants, make sure you take care of the dog. Make sure he's fed. And unfortunately, on one particular day, the servants forgot to feed him, and the dog then disappeared. He leaves because he wasn't particularly fed. And he runs, he's running, and of course, following morning, Shivananda's looking for the dog. Where's this dog, Prabhu? And Dog Prabhu could not be found. And Shivananda Sen was so very affected. He chastised the servants, why did you not feed the dog? He's disappeared now. Anything can happen to him. And of course the dog runs, and he runs straight to where Gauranga Mahaprabhu is. And this dog Prabhu, when he takes darshan of Mahaprabhu, he pays his obeisance. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is feeding the dog, the coconut pulp. What's inside the coconut is very relishing, this white stuff. If none of you have had it, you've got to have it. We call it, it's a dop. What's inside it? Ian's experienced the nectar. So Dog Prabhu is enjoying it. Mahaprabhu is throwing, scraps of this fruit. And Dog Prabhu is in ecstasy. Mahaprabhu instructs Dog Prabhu to chant. And this dog is chanting. And when the rest of the devotees appear and they come, And from a distance, Shivananda sees that Dwap Prabhu is here with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Shivananda then pays his full dandavat pranams to Dwap Prabhu. Unique pastime, can you imagine it? And these were the final hours of Dwap Prabhu. For after this incident, he is no longer to be seen. For he has returned back home, back to Godhead. Dwap Prabhu Ki Jai. Incredible. And of course, this reminded me of Ginger. And Ginger the cat. This Ginger the cat would get, of course, he would never go on the altar. This cat would never go on the altar. But he would come into this temple room, and then, of course, the devotees would have to. His favorite place was sitting, at that time we didn't have these benches. These benches are from the church. We got them. But this cat would sit there. But anyway, you know, all of a sudden we didn't see him. Of course, you never know, he may have been liberated. So Sri Namamrita, what a beautiful scripture that is, full of nectarian words, serious words. And of course, Prabhu's, today is indeed an auspicious day. Very, very auspicious, for it is the appearance of Sita Thakurani. Sita Thakurani Ki! She is the eternal consort of Lord Advaita. And there's some information of her in the Advaita Prakash. For her father's name is Nishinga Badudi. And the mother, uniquely, is Nishinga Nishimbi. That's the mother. Beautiful names. And the two young daughters, absolute unique personalities. And the Badudi, Nishinga Badudi, realizes that Lord Advaita is bathing in one particular ghat. At that time, Lord Advaita was Lord Advaita, exceptionally handsome, well built, so very effulgent. And so the Badudi, because it's a title, Badudi, he takes the two young daughters, Sita and Sri Devi. Sita Thakurani, incidentally, is the expansion, the avatar of Purnamasi, Jogamaya. Now, Purnamasi is the grandmother. She's literally the grandmother of Krishna, the grandmother of Madhumangal. The grandmother of Madhumangal is everyone's grandmother. Purnamasi is the one who really, really makes a fool out of Jyotila and Kotila in so many pastimes. So this is Sita Thakurani, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu has that relationship, that unique relationship, which is like a grandmother. For when in Shantipur, when he is there, he would only take foodstuffs cooked by the Thakurani, Sita. And Sri Devi, uniquely, she's an expansion avatar of Sita Devi. And so these two unique personalities are accompanying their father, the Badudi. And when they get to the beautiful, beautiful ghat within which Lord Advaita is bathing, the two personalities, Sita and Sri Thakuranis, they're captured. activated, and they talk to each other. And Sri Devi Thakurani mentions, he is brighter than 10 million moons. They just immediately become very in love with him. And the mind of the two daughters is read by the father. The intention of the father, the intention of the Padudi, is naturally to offer them to their rightful owner, as it were, because they are the eternal consorts of Lord Advaita. And so the father, Nrisinga Padudi, approaches Lord Advaita, and he pays obeisance. And the Lord Advaita picks him up and says, Namo Narayan. For this is the custom, Namo Narayan, Lord Advaita says. Of course, Lord Advaita himself is Narayan, he's Mahavishnu. So for him to say it's fine, but it's when the other Mayavadi sannyasis think that they're Narayan, you know, that's a pity. And the Padudi offers prayers, and he mentions that, who are your parents? For I wish to make an offering to you. And Lord Advaita mentions, well, why don't you come home and bring your two daughters as well? So they all go home. And of course, when they reach Shantipur at the home, Lord Advaita puts on new garments and he dresses himself like a monarch. He's like the king on a throne, on a beautiful throne. And the daughters are like, you know, the Rajkumaris, and both are then offered to the Lord. Both are the eternal consorts of Lord Advaita. Sita Thakurani, and they have the children are there. Achyutanandan, the very first child, he is meant to be the embodiment, the empowerment of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Das, the second child, is named Krishna Das. He is none other than Kartikeya, according to the Advaita Prakash. He's Kartikeya, son of Lord Shiva, Sada Shiva. And of course, the third son they named Gopal, the G, Gopal Das, and he's none other than Lord Ganesh. So these are the personalities. Sita Thakurani's relationship with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, being so very, very unique that she is the grandmother, she is Jogamaya. On one particular occasion, a unique pastime, where she has offered to the Lord on the altar some kheer, like a rabri, a milk preparation. And it's offered there, and Achyutanandan, when it's taken off the altar, he takes it. And the Thakurani notices that that preparation has been taken, made out of milk. And she realizes that it's Achyutanandan who's taken it. She was so very upset. How is it that you have taken this? This is meant for Gauranga Mahaprabhu, not you. So she does something quite unique. To teach the child, as it were, she slaps him for being somewhat defiant. Achyutanandan, he's mortified. But I didn't know that this was for Gauranga Mahaprabhu, otherwise I wouldn't have touched it. Push, slap. And so she was so affected by that. The following morning, Gauranga Mahaprabhu appears in the house of Lord Advaita and takes darshan of the Thakurani Sita. And Thakurani is shocked, For on Gauranga Mahaprabhu's right cheek, there are markings, red markings. The Thakurani realized that she has slapped Mahaprabhu by slapping Achyutanandan. And she then realized the position of her son.
Yeah. So these unique, unique personalities. Sita Thakurani ki jai.
Prabhus, I did want to mention something about Radhasmi, but the clock is ticking. Of course, on Tuesday is our most important day for the Gaudiyas. It is so exceptionally, exceptionally important. I would say far more important than Janmashtami. What's Janmashtami in comparison to Radhasmi? Is it not so? But I'll skip that particular pastime. But just in conclusion, because I have to rush off and I've got a funeral to conduct, and this funeral is important to us, for it is the funeral of the maternal grandmother of Ghanshyam Priya Prabhu, Jai Sethi. It's his grandmother's funeral. So we pray to their lordships for their protection, to her grace, Pushpaben Shah. And so I have to rush off. But in conclusion, I'd like to naturally mention that the chanting of the holy name for us is indeed the mukti and the liberation, which is what's been stipulated here. And of course, it's Gauranga Mahaprabhu who's in essence given us the holy name. However, without the mercy of the Supreme Lord Nityananda, there is no way we can chant any mantra. Nityananda aham nami, sarva ananda karam param. Hari nama pradam deva avaduta shiromani. I bow down to the Supreme Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Of course, he should be Mahaprabhu. I don't know why he's given. Is the Supreme Lord, who is the awarder of the highest joy award, the presiding deity of the holy name. The presiding deity of the holy name, this is Lord Nityananda, and is the crest jewel of all Paramananda mendicants. This is our Lord Nityananda. So, so do be conscious of that, which I'm sure all of us are. Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. So I'll stop here. Just got a couple of minutes really for any questions, comments, corrections. If there are any questions, then Smarahari Prabhu is here. If there are any comments, do please air them. If there are any corrections, do direct them to me. Sutapa Prabhu is also here. Priyojan Prabhu is nicely seated there. Thank you, Prabhus. Ian, is that your thumb coming up?
Thanks so much, Prabhu, for your class. Really, really nice. Yeah, just based on a few things that you were mentioning, also in the beginning of the class, it just made me question the whole concept of what it means to go back home, back to Godhead. Because in one sense, we think about it as like a we're spirit souls, we're not physical, but like as a physical thing, where like, you know, us in our soul, our original form, we go back to the spiritual world. But then it seems to me that even looking at the different examples that you gave, that really just being situated with Krishna firmly fixed and rooted is somewhat like going back to Godhead. For example, like Narad Muni, who traverses the entire world but is always fixated on the Lord. So I just wanted to get your take on what, if that changes the whole paradigm of what going back home, back to Godhead means.
Thank you. Is it not so then that now and again devotees would ask Srila Prabhupada, isn't it? A similar question. And I do recollect it mentioned, don't worry about going back home, back to Godhead. For if you're in ISKCON, you're already liberated. Just be conscious of that. And hence, for us Gaudiya Vaishnavas within ISKCON, it's the this chanting of the holy name, which is so very essential. So I can only say that, you know, let's not worry about going back home. For someone like me, there's no contemplation at all. For it'll take billions, if not trillions, of lives, and that's the honest truth. Samara Hariprabhu, anything to add on that? Because it's beautifully mentioned. The way Ian mentioned it nicely, is any contemplation on that?
This section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is dealing with mukti, and specifically mentions five types of liberation. There are, of course, various people who aspire for these different types of liberation, which is why they're specifically mentioned. But for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, which we follow in ISKCON, it's our aspiration is to be involved in loving service. So the highest goal that we can possibly attain is to be involved in loving service. And as Nilamaro Prabhu so very clearly points out, that here within this ISKCON society, which Srila Prabhupada very carefully formed and set up and regulated, within this ISKCON society, we have so many different varieties of loving service. So, factually speaking, there is no difference between serving in full capacity within the ISKCON movement according to the structure that Srila and the guidance that Srila Prabhupada has given, and being in any other position, including within the spiritual world, in a loving service capacity, because the loving service is exactly the same. What is different is that in the spiritual world, one is purely loving Krishna, whereas here in the material world, most of us have yet to acquire full, committed, pure love, pure service. So there is a difference in the quality of the service, but the activity, it's exactly the same thing. And there are many, many, many examples within the ISKCON society of individuals who are purely dedicated and purely focused, and they're just amazing, fully developed spiritual personalities. So it's just a question that, as Prabhuji said in the very beginning, it's just a question of keeping on doing it. And for someone like yourself, some days will be very easy and very joyful, and other days will be more challenging and less appear to be accomplished. But if you just keep on, and just keep with the process, then eventually you will be fully blissful in fully committing to the service of Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you all very, very much. Tantra Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita.